going to turn to the book of Job, chapter 13, reading one verse, verse 15. And our message this morning is ultimate trust. And we find that this is a great verse of Scripture that if there were one in the Bible that could, just in a short terse sentence, declare ultimate trust in the Lord while people are living on earth in the human form, this is really it. Job 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job himself and the story of Job is set before us in the Scriptures as the man with ultimate trials. And that's usually the way we think of the book of Job. We travel with Job across the landscape of his life, and what we see there in that landscape is the gray, colorless, drab, and dreary facets of a human life when it is in distress, when it is in sorrow, when it is in pain. Everything seems to be about dark valleys of discouragement in the book of Job. Everything seems to be about the dark shadows of loss. And Bible students through history have gone to the book of Job to take a look at sorrows born of loss and suffering. How many times have you been drawn to the book of Job when you've been going through some really bad times? And God brings you to be thinking, start thinking about the way things work. And it's almost inevitable that the first thing that you think about is Job when you get down low enough. And so that's the way we think of the book of Job. But Job is, while it's a good book to find lessons from God about loss and sorrow in, about overcoming those losses and sorrows, the book of Job is also a book about another aspect of man's relationship with his Lord. And inside the book of Job, there are pockets of treasures, of gold and diamonds, of spiritual things that are hidden away in those depressing valleys that dot Job's landscape of life. And In those pockets of treasures we find in the book of Job, some of the most revealing truths in the Bible about the abiding power of faith in God, of trusting in the Lord, is found. Some of the most abiding, impressing truths about trusting the Lord are found in the deep valleys of Job's sorrows and losses. Now, we find the most telling testimony about how that very trust of God enables believers to put that trust in God in even the most destructive of times. We find that in the book of Job. And our text is a kind of brief sermon about that very thing. It's a brief sermon on the strength of spiritual resolve that is born of the trust that I'm talking about. The strength of spiritual resolve that's born out of the destructive forces that can strike a man when in fact his life is laid open to the attack of the devil and all of the sorrowful things that can beset him. Now, it's on this very subject that I want us to focus today, and I want us to think about Job's awesome statement here and try to understand some of the things that this testimony implies about a believer's trust in the Lord. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, says Job. And you know, brothers and sisters, I really believe he meant it. I believe that he believed that from the depths of his soul. And I believe that the very practice and the words that he spoke to us that were written down here and the experiences that he went through and how he came out of them proved that he really meant it. He really believed it. He felt it with his whole being. So what does this kind of trust imply about the one who's doing the trusting? And what does it imply about God? I think Job can teach us that kind of thing. And as I look at Job's experiences and this statement by him, the first thing that I think of that this implies is that the trust that Job has, and any other believer who has it, anyone who has this kind of trust, I believe it implies that they believe in the absolute power of God. Now, why do I say that this must tell us that the believer who trusts this way believes in the absolute power of God? Well, the first reason is if you look in the book of Job, beginning in chapter 1, look and tell me who is the culprit behind all of Job's sorrows. Who is the culprit that causes the damage to Job? Who is the one that comes in with a whirlwind and kills his children? Who is the one that strikes his body with disease? Who is the one that causes this sorrow to come upon him? Why, it's the devil. And you know what? I don't believe Job was privy to the conversation between the devil and God. I don't believe he was sitting in on teleconference or that business meeting. I believe that the devil had that conversation with God without Job knowing a thing in the world about it. But despite the fact that Job knew nothing about the conversation between the devil and God, Job recognized one thing out of that that causes us to know that he believed beyond Satan's great forces, he believed in the power of God. And that one thing that we see among many that he points to is that Job, though the devil was the working force behind the damage, Job says, though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. Now that tells us something about Job's view of God. And I believe it tells us, first of all, that when we think of our worst case scenario for our lives, we need to realize, like Job, that God is in control of even the worst case scenario. Now, brothers and sisters, do we acknowledge God in the bad times as much as we do in the good times? Do we acknowledge that the worst case scenario in our lives cannot occur unless God allows it to be so? Even if, as with Job, the devil is at the heart of the matter, do we acknowledge that God is in control? If we do, we can say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But this is a place in our lives many times where our faith begins to slip just a little bit. Because we see all of this circumstance happening, all of the calamities that strike us, all of the bad things that are happening, and the very next thought that often enters our mind is, why is all this happening to me? Or, how can this be? What have I done? We start asking questions that are really kind of separate from God. Instead of saying, wait. Yeah, it looks like the devil's at work here. But hey, God is in control. He is the one who has the power. That's what Job is saying here. He's saying, God is the one with the power. And I believe Job understood that the forces of evil that struck his family and his body were the works of Satan, but he didn't give Satan the credit for it. And that's how I know that Job recognized the power of absolute power of God in what was happening. And this trust that he has implies that he knew that he understood that, and that he acknowledged God's power in what was going on. And so, when this trust is of this magnitude, those who possess it are really believing in the absolute power of God. Job believes that in all situations, it's God in the background who has the ultimate power and the ultimate control. I really believe he believed that. I really believe we ought to always believe that, because that's the difference that separates us from those who have not faith. That's the difference that separates one child of God who suffers much in anguish and emotional stress from the child of God who seems to weather every storm without so much as a ruffled feather. God help us to be those who weather the storm, because all too often we're the victims of our own emotional stress because we fail to acknowledge that in the worst case scenario of our lives, in the background there, the great God of heaven is orchestrating everything for us. And I'll get to that in a minute. Now, most of you have done a little bit of viewing of some major building fires in which that, and you see these in movies. There's a reason I know that most of you have seen huge building fires where the firemen are the heroes and they're running in to put out the flames. And in fact, there was a movie at one time that was built on this whole idea of what I'm going to talk about. But in those fires, very often there are rooms closed up in those big buildings where the fire will get a start and it'll be burning in there, but it'll be kind of smoldering. And the smoke will be creeping out under the doors and around the windowsills and stuff, and it'll have a funny dark yellowish look to it, and it's all sealed off. It's in there smoldering, but it's really not gotten to burning in that room yet until somebody opens a door. And all of a sudden, there's this huge whoosh, and fire ignites in that room, and a great billow blows out the door and blows out the window, and there all of a sudden is fire everywhere, burning the entire structure down in a one great explosive move. And as you think about that, you know, firemen call that backdraft fire. And as you think about a backdraft fire, you think, whoa, boy, that fire really had power. I mean, look what it did. It just exploded into being from a few little smoldering particles in a room. But folks, have you ever thought about how that really happens? Have you ever thought about how backdraft fires actually do that great explosive thing that they do and suddenly ignite an entire room, an entire building in an explosive gush of flame? Well, let me tell you something about that. I think most of you know this. When a person walks up and opens the door where there's a smoldering fire, oxygen from outside rushes into the room. And you know, oxygen to a smoldering fire that doesn't have much oxygen, that's oxygen starved, is almost like throwing a gallon of gasoline in there on it. And that oxygen, invisible to the person who opens the door, is really the agent that causes the explosion of that great fire that will sometimes burn a building in an instant when the backdraft occurs. It's the oxygen in the background that's doing the work. And that's exactly the way God operates so many times in situations like Job was experiencing here. Job recognized in the background there was God regulating things. And so he was able to say, understanding that power of God, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God help us to realize that ourselves and to be like Job, to trust the Lord ultimately and to be able to say, you know, even if He kills me, I'm still going to trust Him. That's what we need to be able to say. God, help us to do it. The second thing I think that Job shows us, though, is this. That such trust, as we see here in this verse, implies that the truster believes in the unerring wisdom of God in matters of life. I think that Job shows us and teaches us, and we ought to recognize that he must have not understood clearly that God had an uncanny and unerring wisdom about Himself, and that regardless of what the extent of damage coming to Job was going to be, that God would take care of it all because His wisdom dominated what was unfolding. Now, in the worst case scenario that might happen in our lives, brothers and sisters, I think it's sometimes hard. In fact, I think it's sometimes impossible to see the purpose or the benefit of certain things that are going on. When times get really bad, I mean really bad, and you can't see the light of day for all of the darkness of depressing things that are going on around you, isn't it so hard to understand what the purpose in all of that can possibly be? We're not in much of a mental condition to analyze, in the middle of a calamity, to analyze what benefit it could be to us. We're suffering through the damage that is causing us, the emotional damage, the physical damage, or the spiritual damage that it seems to be doing to us. We're suffering through that, and it's really hard to be analytical when you're in a case like that. And so, we find it difficult, if not impossible, to really see the purpose of things that happen to us like happened to Job. And also, one of the greatest challenges in our faith, and I believe this was a challenge to Job too, he was a man of like passions as you and me, but one of the greatest challenges to our faith is to be confident that what is unfolding in our lives is exactly the right thing by the design of God, the God who cannot make a mistake. What is unfolding in our lives? Can we really see and say and believe and trust that it is unfolding according to the plan of God and it's exactly the right thing? I believe Job was saying that when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, so it's a great challenge for us to view what's happening in our lives when times are Job-like and say, hey, it's bad. From my perspective, it's as bad as it can possibly get, but I know that all of this is occurring because in the wisdom of God, this is exactly the way it's supposed to occur. Think about that, brothers and sisters. I'm offering you something here that's really hard to swallow. I realize it as a man. You realize it if you've ever gone through anything that seems to literally overwhelm you. You've realized that the hardest thing to get a hold of is the very fact that God is in charge and His wisdom dominates. And it's happening according to the dictates of that wisdom. Let me tell you a parable. There was a man once who lived in the southern part of Virginia. He was a farmer all his life. He grew up in the farmland country where he had his own farm, and he never went outside of Southern Virginia in his life. He was always a homebody, did all of his work right there in that area of the country. And one day he decided that before he grew too old to enjoy it, he was going to take a trip to Washington, D.C. And so he went down to the train station in his local hometown, and he bought himself a railway ticket, a railroad ticket, and got signed up to go straight from his railway station down there, straight into Union Station, right downtown Washington, D.C. Big, beautiful old building down there, if you've never seen it. So the man had his ticket arrangements made, and on the day that he was ready to go, he and his wife loaded up, got the suitcases ready, and went down to the train station. We're standing there on the loading dock, getting ready to get on the train. His wife turned to him and said, "Honey, are you sure we will make this trip and do it all right? We'll be able to get there okay and everything?" And the man said, "Honey, I want to tell you something. You know I've never been outside this section of the country, no further than two or three counties away from here all my life, and I've spent my whole life here. So I don't have the slightest idea about how to get to Washington, D.C. But we took a train, we're taking a train, and when they built the rails that train travels on, they built them in such a way that it was a straight shot from here all the way to Union Station." He said, "I don't know the trip. I don't know the route to go into Union Station in Washington, D.C. But those railroad tracks know exactly how to get there. Let's see those railroad tracks as the wisdom of God. We don't know how to get there, brothers and sisters. Yet we can, like Job, trust God. Though He slay us, we can trust Him because the railroad track of God's wisdom knows how to take us there, wherever we've got to go." That's the way God works. And so, Job teaches us that. Now, this kind of trust sometimes teaches us and it demands of us that we ignore what we call common wisdom offered by others, because there's always somebody that's going to tell you the way to do something looking at it from human wisdom viewpoint. There's always somebody with a bit of advice. Armchair lawyers and armchair advisors are a dime a dozen. They've got a way to do things. But sometimes this kind of trust demands that we ignore common wisdom offered by others. Job's wife says to him, when all this gets down the pike a little piece, "Dost thou retain thine integrity?" Now, if you were to say that in your language today, you'd say, "Are you going to keep on having this confidence in God? Are you going to keep on being upright and not spouting off about this? Not venting your frustrations? Are you going to keep on acting like the upstanding good guy with all of this happening to you?" That was the advice of the wife. Well, that's earthly or carnal advice. But the wisdom of God says what old Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. The wisdom of God says, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." While the wisdom of man says, "Are you going to keep on being Mr. Upright Guy with all of this happening to you? You have a right to vent." God's going to say, "You're going right. Keep on going." That's the difference. And sometimes we just have to ignore the world in regard to the wisdom they offer. Job's wife says to him, "Curse God and die." That's the wisdom of the world. After all that's happened to you, you really believe in a kind, good, and wonderful God? Why don't you just curse God and die and have be done with it? You'd be better off dead. But the wisdom of God says, it says, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive also evil?" That's the wisdom of God. And you notice that if you have that kind of wisdom about things, when they get the really calamity size, the wisdom of the world is in total contradiction to that. But the wisdom of God says, doesn't matter the calamity, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, folks, let me show you how stark that testimony is. Say with me in your heart just now, even if God kills me, I trust that it is right. Because that's what he was saying. That's big. That's huge. But it's exactly what we're talking about when we say that this trust implies believing in God, believing in the wisdom of God, believing in the absolute goodness of God, believing in all that God is despite what appearances are. Now, let me also say one last thing, that this kind of trust also implies believing in the absolute commitment by the Lord to the well-being of His children. Say it again. This kind of trust implies that the one who so trusts believes in the absolute commitment by the Lord to the well-being of His children. Because if you can say, even if God kills me, I still trust Him, you are saying the death at the hands of God is a safe thing to go through because it's God who's conducting it. That's the ultimate trust. The ultimate trust of God is when we as God's people are able to say, I know with Paul that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, Paul's great testimony is really a parallel to Job's testimony here in our text verse, because they both really are saying the same thing. Our text speaks of trust that says, in the worst of times, I believe God has my best interests in mind. Because, brothers and sisters, there's not hardly anything that can happen to you in this valley of life that is more impacting, that is more of an attention getter than for you to lose your life, to be killed. Lots of things happen, but think for just a minute, on a scale of 1 to 10, what things are the worst that could happen to you? What some awful disease might happen to you? And that could be a really bad thing. But the reason it's bad is why? Because it's going to take you to death. And when you look at all the bad things that you think are real horrors that could happen to you, the reason that they are, almost all of them are so horrible is they lead to death of the body. And what we see here with Job is that he believes God has his best interest in mind, even if it comes down to the loss of his life. Even if God takes his life, God still has his best interest in mind. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I want to leave you with one closing thought. Go home today or tonight and read the 23rd Psalm again. And notice that the 23rd Psalm could be made an attachment to Job's claim here in our text. Because the 23rd Psalm is about that ultimate trust. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, saith he. And he goes on with statements about God making him to lie down in green pastures, God restoring his soul, God leading him beside still waters. And all the things that you find there in that great chapter of 6 verses is about ultimate trust in God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. My last question. Really? Really? If not, ask him to give you the faith, the trust in him, to be able to say, even if he kills me, I still trust him.